Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Right now, we'll be talking to Pastor Ongwenya. He's on the line. Yes, he is on the line. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm very well, Pastor, and how are you?
God is blessing. We're moving on.
Amen. Pastor, we will be looking at our SOP, Steps to Christ. We are on chapter 4, Confession. But before we get into our conversation for today, can you open with the word of prayer?
Thank you so much. Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful that we can come together virtually and listen to your word. As we begin this session, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, may be with us to enlighten and illuminate our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. We are looking at, to our listeners at home, we are talking to Pastor Ongwenya. We are looking at Steps to Christ. We are on chapter 4 under the topic that says confession. What comes to mind when you hear the word confession? Confession is more than just admitting wrongdoings. It is an essential step in spiritual healing and restoration. True confession comes from a heart that acknowledges its need for God's mercy, not for fear of punishment or mere obligation. In Steps to Christ, chapter 4, we explore what genuine confession looks like. Why is it necessary for spiritual growth, and how it is deepens our relationship with God. This week, we will examine the conditions of true confession, the danger of insincere repentance, and the transformative power of seeking forgiveness. Pastor, without any waste of time, let's get into our talk. So, true versus false confession. Many people acknowledge their sins without genuine repentance, often blaming others or excusing their actions. True confession, however, is specific, heartfelt, and leads to a real change in behavior. Why does God desire honesty in our confession?
Well, it is a transformative power when we engage in genuine confession. It is a way of transforming our lives. It is a way of bringing about the change that God expects in us.
Yes, my pastor, I'm listening.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited each time I read the book Steps to Christ, the truths come new in my mind. So in chapter 4, Ellen G. White emphasizes that confession should be sincere, specific, and accompanied by a genuine willingness to forsake sin. Let me just pick this quotation.
Right.
That passes the point. Maybe it might help. Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Thank you. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. Wash you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's according to Isaiah 1, verse 16 and 17. You can also check Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. So what Ellen G. White presents in chapter 4 has biblical foundations. It has biblical support. You can also check 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. So it has to be sincere, specific, and accompanied by the willingness to forsake sin. When we engage in such confession, it is the potential to transform our lives. We grow when
right.
we engage in genuine confession.
Mm. So, my pastor, how does genuine repentance differ from superficial sorrow for sin?
Okay, maybe looking at if we were to compare the two, true versus false confession, we would say true confession is specific, sincere, and followed by change.
Okay.
Then false confession is often accompanied by excuses or blame shifting, like what Adam did and Eve did when they blamed each other and the serpent for their sin. If you go and check Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. So a true confession takes full responsibility for wrongdoing without trying to justify the sin. So that's the comparison, and that's the concluding statement regarding true confession.
Wow, powerful one. And what role does restitution play in the confession process?
Well, as I indicated earlier, confession is the transformative effect. It also brings healing, you know, broken relationships. Broken relationships, when the confession comes in and there's restitution, there's complete healing on the part of the one who was offended and the one who offended the other. So it completes the healing process, so to speak. So confession is not enough on its own. It must be accompanied by repentance, which is a deep sorrow, and restitution, like as you indicated earlier, on wash you, make you clean away the evil of your wrongdoing. So as you do restitution, it's a way of expressing your willingness, you know, to make amends and to make things right with your fellow brother or sister.
Speaking of forgiveness, my pastor, how does confession relate to forgiveness? And what are the consequences of unforgiveness?
Okay, well, and forgiveness, those who harbor unforgiveness suffer in many ways. It has health implications. Those that refuse to forgive, they even suffer in the area of health. Somebody once said, refusing to forgive is like drinking poison and expecting the one you're angry about to suffer the consequences. It doesn't happen that way. So those are the effects. The one who refuses to forgive suffers, you know, their relationship with God is severed, and they suffer health challenges as well. So there's a need for one to let go. It helps you in your Christian experience. It also even helps you in the area of health.
Right. What is the relationship between confession and spiritual growth, and how can we use confession as a mean of deepening our faith?
Okay, let me just read a statement that probably might help shed more light on that statement.
Right.
From another statement from Ellen G. White. I find this to be a very key statement. She says, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sin. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you." Then another one. "The Lord does not ask us to do something hard and painful so that our sins may be forgiven. We do not need to make long, tiring journeys. We cannot pay for our sins." But I was looking at this one, which says, "The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. For your vision will be clearer, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. This is evidence that certain delusions have lost their power, that the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you." And then she says, "As you draw near to him with confession and repentance, he will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness." So that's the relationship that exists. Those are the implications of it.
Oh, powerful one, my pastor. Reflect on your own experiences with confession, my pastor. How have you responded to conviction of sin in the past?
Well, I'm one person who when I'm convinced that what I've done is wrong, I don't struggle to confess and seek forgiveness. I remember one instance where, you know, something had happened and I was kind of trying to, you know, acknowledge that what I had expressed was not the right thing. Well, it was not needful, according to one of the professors. They say, you have a weak conscience. But all I'm saying is, it has helped me in my Christian experience. You know, I remember that was David Livingstone, even on his, you know, the day he died, a note was found. I knew to dedicate my life to Thee, O God. So he cultivated a culture of, you know, confessing sins. So in my life, I found it helpful because relationships grow when we confess. And also my relationship with God. I know my conscience is clear. It's the best thing to live with a clear conscience. So from my experience, when I've confessed, I have a clear conscience. I can ask anything from God with confidence, knowing that he has forgiven me. And then interpersonal relationships, it builds relationships.
Right.
Even, you know, family life. I remember when I was getting married, into marriage, I was told that there are people who struggle to say, I'm sorry.
Eish.
And so I began to practice it, and it has helped me in my marriage as well. And relationships with other people.
And what is the role of the Holy Spirit in conviction, and how does He work to convince us of our sin?
Well, He is the one who whispers to us, you know, to our consciences, and convicts us. You know, that's what the Bible says. He's the one who convicts us of sin. So He plays a significant role. So it tells us that it's a gift from God through the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
He's the one who moves us. He's the one who compels us. He's the one who drives us, you know, makes us feel sorry for what we've done, feel bad about what I've done. So He plays a significant role. So we truly need God, the Holy Spirit, in that area. He is the one who plays a special pivotal role in the area of confession and forgiveness.
We're talking of the role of the Holy Spirit in conviction. We often struggle to recognize the depth of our sins until the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. How does the Holy Spirit guide us towards true confession, and how can we be more receptive to this conviction?
Okay, well, He works through our conscience, and He also works through others, you know, to help us, you know, see the need for confessing, you know, need to see the ugliness of our actions where we would have missed the mark. Because remember, sin is missing the mark.
Right.
So He helps us to see it in the proper perspective. So that way, we're then able to see sin in its rightful, you know, picture, and then it draws us closer to God. So yes, we see the importance of relying more on God. So we need to ask Him. We need to ask for His presence in our lives, so that we may live lives that are in conformity to God's will.
Wow. And what is the difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation?
Well, I think it's about perspective.
Okay, okay.
When God, you know, directs our attention to our sinful sins and shows us how sinful we are, it is in order to build us. So when we have that perspective, that God, even when He punishes us, it's not so that He will destroy us, but to build us up. What doesn't destroy you, it builds you up. So when you look at it from that perspective, that He opens our eyes to the nature of our sin in order to build us.
Right.
So it's about building that perspective, that positive perspective about the role of the Holy Spirit, and that when we have sinned, we need to confess.
And how should we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, maybe?
Well, immediately confess when he shows me. And like I said, he opens our eyes, you know, through conscience and also through others showing us our shortcomings.
Right.
At times, you may have done something unaware. You may have done something and you didn't see that it will offend another person.
Right.
But when the other person now shows you that your actions were offensive to them, then a person who lives a life that is aligned to God's will always confess. They don't defend themselves, but they. So that's the Holy Spirit working through our conscience,
right,
through others who open our eyes. Then our response should be, we need to go down on our knees and acknowledge that we have wronged and seek for forgiveness.
And what are some common ways we resist or ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit? And how can we overcome these tendencies?
Well, trying to, justify it.
Right, right.
Trying to say, well, everybody is doing it. Yeah, focusing on, the fact that a majority of people are doing it does not make it good. So I think those are some of the ways, trying to, excuse it, trying to, defend it. Those are some of the ways. But now as we read through the word, God teaches us to overcome those. So as we talk about confession, we need to pray God to help us overcome, excusing our mistakes, trying to cover them up. As we read, God expects us not to cover them, but to confess them. And he's always ready to forgive when we confess our sins.
And how does the conversion of the Holy Spirit relate to our growth in faith and our walk with God?
Remember, from a theological point of view, talk about justification.
Right.
And sanctification.
Mm.
Justification and sanctification. So God, the Holy Spirit, when we have been justified by faith through Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit plays an important role in this process of sanctification. He is the one who opens our eyes to sins, convicts us, shows us, and as we respond to his wooings, we grow in our spiritual experience.
Mm.
So his role helps us in our Christian experience. He helps us to grow in our Christian experience. So that's what I see from that perspective.
Right. Mfundisi, before I let you go, last question. What are some biblical examples of individuals who responded positively to the conviction of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I'm reminded of David. God worked through the prophet, and when his attention was drawn to that, he immediately confessed his sin. That's one person. Actually, God calls him a man after his own heart, not because of the sins that he committed, but because of his attitude. When his eyes were open to his shortcomings, he would confess his sins. So that's the example that comes to mind.
Wow, thank you so much, Mfundis. Your last word before we close in prayer.
Well, in conclusion, I would say confession is a gift from God that allows us to start afresh. It must be genuine from the book Steps to Christ, chapter 4. It must be genuine, specific, and followed by a changed life. So there must be transformation. When we confess, God forgives us. He restores us and draws us closer to him. So there are benefits when we develop that habit of confessing our sins. The benefits are that God forgives us. He restores us. He draws us closer to him. Who doesn't want to stay close to God? We all want that. Yeah. So those are the benefits. And so the challenge to us today, the encouragement for us today, is let's strive for genuine, specific, confession that is followed by change, and pray that God will help us through the Holy Spirit to grow and align our lives to his will. Those are the last words that I can say. Number one, confession is a gift from God. We must strive for genuine, specific confession that is followed by change. And remember, there are benefits to it. God
right.
forgives, restores, and draws us closer to himself.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Ngwenya. Can we close this conversation with a word of prayer?
Thank you so much. Let us pray. Okay, and Heavenly Father in heaven, Lord, so thankful for the gift of confession, the one that allows us to start afresh. Help us, Heavenly Father, to appreciate this gift and to always strive for genuine, specific confession, and pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to change our lifestyle and to align our lifestyle with God's greater purposes. We are so thankful for the benefits that come with it, that you forgive us, restore us, and draw us closer to yourself. Heavenly Father, even now, as we think of our shortcomings, we pray, we confess, we pray that you may forgive us of our wrongs and restore us, O God, and draw us closer to you. May we, through these lessons, be transformed and grow in our Christian experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor, for your time.
Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Amen. To our listeners at home, that was Pastor O. Ngwenya, talking to us about steps to Christ. We are on chapter 4, looking at the topic that says conversion.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.